Today's episode of Sports Spectrum's podcast with Antoine Randall L. is presented by our friends at Compassion International. And due to COVID-19, 70,000 kids and their families in Compassion programs were left in the dark without a child sponsorship and are in urgent need right now of support from people like you and I. 70,000 also happens to be the capacity of the average pro football stadium. And that's where Fill the Stadium was born. It's a stadium that cannot remain empty. It's an opportunity for you and I to partner with Compassion International and our pro athlete friends to provide a year's worth of essential food, nutritional supplements, hygiene essentials, medical screenings for COVID-19, the important things that every child and their family should have. You and I can partner right now with Compassion to help Fill the Stadium. Check out fillthestadium.com to learn more, to donate. Again, this is a stadium that cannot remain empty. Every seat represents a child in need. Help us get to 70,000 seats and fill the stadium. Check out fillthestadium.com.
Welcome to Sports Spectrum, where we bring Jesus back into the conversation. Here's your host, former ESPN producer, Jason Romano.
And welcome, everyone, to the show. I am Jason Romano. This is the Sports Spectrum podcast. We bring Jesus back into the conversation. And make sure you go check out our website to start, sportspectrum.com. It's so good to have football back, and the website is a great place to go to read stories on the different athletes and coaches involved in football, whether it's professional, whether it's college. We try to highlight football stories right there at the website, sportspectrum.com. When you're there at the website, make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter as well. There's a newsletter icon at the top of the website. You click it, you put your email address in, it takes you 5 seconds to do, and you're signed up for Sports Spectrum Weekly, our free weekly newsletter. Comes to your email inbox, keeps you updated on all of the stories, the podcasts, the devotionals that you may have missed throughout the week, and it's one simple email coming on Wednesday morning to your inbox. I promise you, we will not spam you, but it's a great way to stay in touch with all that we have here at Sports Spectrum. And again, you can sign up at sportspectrum.com. Got a great conversation today with Antoine Randall L. That's right, two-time Super Bowl champion, Antoine Randall L. You remember the first Super Bowl because that was in 2005 when he was with the Pittsburgh Steelers and he won a title there. That was the Bill Cowher Super Bowl when he won his only title as a head coach. But Antoine Randall L. threw a 43-yard TD reverse touchdown pass in that game to Hines Ward to beat Seattle. That was in the fourth quarter of Super Bowl 40, and Antoine won his first ring. He won his second ring last year as a coach with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where he was an assistant coach with the wide receivers, working with Bruce Arians, his former assistant coach with the Steelers, and he won a Super Bowl last year. And everybody remembers Tom Brady and COVID, and man, the upset win that they had against the Chiefs in that Super Bowl, the dominant win that they had. So Antoine won a second ring with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But right after that ring, he has an opportunity to go be a wide receivers coach with Detroit, and he takes that job. And now he's with the Detroit Lions here in 2021, getting ready for the season to start in just a few days. And Antoine Randall L. is going to be leaving that young wide receiver core with a couple of veterans as well in Detroit. But he loves Jesus, and that's evident when you listen to this conversation. Antoine Randall L., his faith is very important in his life. He talks very openly about God and the importance of staying connected to Christ. Whether he's a coach, whether he's a player, whether he's a husband or a dad, he talks about his faith as well. This is a lot of fun, this conversation with Antoine Randall L. joining us from his car. And he happened to have a break, got some lunch, tuned in from the car, got us on Zoom, and we taped a podcast right here for you to listen to right now on Sports Spectrum. Antoine Randall L., welcome to Sports Spectrum, man. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Good to have you here on the show. We're excited because it's just about football season, and it's that time of year again where we get excited about the NFL. 2021, the NFL season's upon us. How does it feel? You're in a different team now with the Detroit Lions as a wide receivers coach, a new environment. Tell us about the excitement surrounding the Lions and your new role there.
Really excited. Excited for the Lions, obviously, first, meaning that, you know, it's a change, a new era, if you will. And you can just see it in the players, the confidence that we've seen in the players, the time that we've had them so far, and just our coaching staff that that Dan has put together and brought together, and everybody's excited and ready to go. So we're extremely excited and want to see where this thing goes and feel like we can take it a lot of place. I'm excited about my room. I got some crafty veterans.
Yeah.
Some veterans that can go get it. Veterans that I had, Breshad Perriman, obviously back in 2019 when I was with Tampa, and Tyrell Williams, who can just flat out go get it and play ball, who was in San Diego for a while and played for the Raiders and didn't tore his shoulder up, but he's back and ready to go. And I got some young guns that are chomping at the bit, that have an opportunity to come in, make some noise. And I feel like we're going to lay up under the radar, and people are going to forget. And as they kind of forget about us and don't think about us, we're going to try to take it by storm as much as we can. So I'm excited.
Sneak up on them a little bit, maybe 17 games this year. Yep. Does that change how you prepare at all, other than it's just one extra game? I'm guessing no, but does that change the dynamic at all?
It doesn't change. It doesn't change the dynamic. Your preparation is the same. So from that perspective, your prep doesn't change. It's just in terms of endurance. Like, right. You got another game to play, another game that you want to be thriving as a coach and make sure you're teaching and giving the men in my room and on the team what they need to go out and, you know, be successful, you know, day in and day out. So you got to do it another week. And hopefully that another week is giving us an opportunity to be in the playoffs, or we're resting our guys because we're going after it, you know. So that's the way to look at it as well. So again, I'm excited about it. Thank you. Appreciate it. So excited about it.
Yeah.
Please excuse me, man. As you can see, I'm moving around, man. I am excited.
You are the multitasker, Antoine. The multitasker.
I got a wife and six kids, and when I get a break, I try to get it and do things like this. At the same time, grab me a little meal or whatever that'll help out.
For those listening on the podcast, you're doing this from your car. And somebody just dropped you a meal off in your car. So I just want people to hear that. And it's just, hey, this is as we're going right now, real time, Antoine.
Yes, indeed. And that's part of it. I always tell people when I do interviews, look, it might be a couple of interruptions, you know, but I'm going to stay focused on you, you know, especially if I'm at home and my little 6-year-old might come knocking on the door like, hey, Dad, although I told him I'm in an interview, he's still going to come in and try to check and see you what's going on with that? And at the end of the day, can I get on too?
Exactly.
So it's good.
What do you think the biggest difference is between Coach Antoine and Player Antoine? Now that you can look back, you played in the league for almost a decade. What do you think now, as you're here in your early 40s, and the difference between being a coach and a player for you?
Understanding and wisdom, I would say. The understanding of, obviously, I played. From that perspective, and now I get the reason coaches are after you so much and want to get the best out of you so much. That's really great coaches that I played for that cared about Antoine Rendell, the person, and not just Antoine Rendell, the ball player. And that's what I try to give to you know, any player that I have in my room, because at the end of the day, ball's going in, you know, and you know, what are you doing after ball? Or do you still have those relationships? And because of those relationships is how I got on. That relationship I had with Bruce Aarons that I still have to this day, obviously. But we had a great relationship when we played, and he was big on family. And that was big for me because as I was playing, I was having babies. And, you know, it was just part of what me and my wife was doing. It's part of what the Bible tells you to do. So
that's right.
So you cultivate those relationships and you just keep building them. So that difference for me, understanding that, and then the wisdom that I can turn around and share with the guys, again, not just about the game, but, hey, this is how you keep yourself during this time, you know, because in the NFL, And I just shouldn't say the NFL, but when you're a celebrity and the limelight is on you, so much comes with that. And yeah. and you want to stay, you want to stay in tune with God like never before, because at the end of the day, like, that's what matters. He's mm-hmm. going to keep you. This job is not going to keep you. It's just a resource, obviously. God is the source. This job is just a resource. And that resource can go away, you know, and as quickly as you got it, and as hard as long as it took for you to get it, it can disappear and be gone in a minute. So you always want to stay connected to the source. And obviously that's God. And if you do that, he's going to take care. He's going to make sure you have what you need if you trust in him.
So Coach Antoine is just coming yep. off of one heck of a year with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, your previous yeah. role. You win a Super Bowl title as a coach. When you think back to last year for you as a coach, yeah. both on the field, spiritually, I know our connection came from our mutual friend, Clyde Christensen, who you worked with and played with, or I should say coached alongside with in Tampa last year, growing in your faith. When you think about last year in 2020 and all the good that came, but all the difficulties that came with that year too, what, yep. what kind of stands out?
I think what's stood out for the most for me was, from a football standpoint, was the dedication to see people, players, coaches, families dedicate to this sport in the way that they did. Like, it was a lot of sacrifice, not just for coaches and players, but our families for sure. Cause it was like, hey, we can't have anybody come in and stay at the house. We right. just can't, I can't run the risk of getting COVID and maybe pass on to the players and other coaches. Like, you didn't want to be that guy, so to speak.
Yeah.
So from that perspective, I don't want to call it a worldly perspective, but from a football perspective, it was unbelievable to see the dedication of your team. Like, this is what we got to do, and we're going to do it, so we don't have any issues. So we ain't, you know, missing 12 guys and going in the game without a quarterback type stuff.
Yeah.
So that dedication was huge. And then you saw that dedication and you said, wow, if God is pausing everything right now and we're dedicating, we're one of the only things functioning in terms of COVID going on. If God is putting a pause on that, allowing us to function, how much more should we put a pause on the things we got going on in our life and focus on him? Hmm. That was like, wait a minute, we pausing and stopping everything that's going on. Everything, God has paused everything, so you can't really do anything anyway.
Yeah.
So focusing on playing ball, coaching ball, but wait a minute, God says, you know, I paused that time, not for us just to do that, but also to focus on him. Like, you ain't got to run to the church.
Right.
It ain't about going to the church. Like, I'm here with you right now. Let's get it. And that's what you saw in a lot of households. People were like, oh, what do I do? I can't get to church. Get the church right there in the house. Hmm. You know, get the church right there in your word. Turn on that praise and worship music. You know, worship and praise him right there. He's in the midst. He's taking care of you in the midst of this, what's going on. So, and you saw the other side of that. A lot of families divided.
Yeah.
Because it was just so... like, they're around each other more than they've ever had to be. So they had to get used to that. It was an adjustment. And you see a lot of families coming out of that, going to counseling. What has happened? All because their schedule had changed. Like, it was unbelievable. But again, some greatness has come out of that. I talk to different families all day long, and they say, hey, we're pregnant, just having a kid now, coming out of COVID.
Yeah.
So all those great things have taken place. And then you have some couples that struggle. And now that COVID's over, they're getting that help to get back on course and just see, hey, it was just God was just pressing that button to say, hey, look to me, not to anywhere else, not to anything else, but look to me. So it was good. It was a lot of good things that came out of it.
Let's take a quick break from our conversation here on Sports Spectrum to tell you a little bit more about our friends at Compassion International, releasing children from poverty in Jesus name. They are the most trusted child development ministry in the world, and it's a company and an organization and a partner of Sports Spectrum that we value so much. And the work that they do, when I tell you how important it is, I'm not sugarcoating it here. It's incredibly important work, releasing kids from poverty, but doing it in Jesus' name, teaching these kids who are stuck in really dire situations about how they can accept Christ and have a relationship with Jesus. That's the most important thing, but they do it with compassion and through compassion's programs. Now, due to COVID-19, 70,000 kids last year and their families in compassion programs were stuck potentially without a sponsorship and are in need of your urgent support. Now, 70,000 is the capacity of the average pro football stadium. And since we've launched Fill the Stadium and their compassion program a year and a half ago, we've seen almost 58,000 seats filled with Compassion's program. You guys have come through, I'm telling you, every seat representing a child in need, and we're close to 60,000 seats. So our goal is very much in reach of helping 70,000 kids and their families, but we're not there yet. So we need your help. It's almost to the end, but we have to keep pushing here to help these kids. There's still 10,000 children out there who need your help. Your help providing essential food and medical care and support for a child and their family during this ongoing pandemic. Help restore what COVID-19 destroyed by going to fillthestadium.com and donating today. Any amount helps. Fillthestadium.com. This is a stadium that cannot remain empty. Fillthestadium.com. Antoine Randall-El is our guest here on Sports Spectrum. We're so glad to have the two-time Super Bowl champion with us, both as a player and a coach. You mentioned your faith. I'd like to go a little deeper with that and just kind of hear your testimony. When did Christ become kind of Lord of your life? Because there's one thing about growing up in church or going to church, but it's another thing when you make that relationship your own. When did that happen?
Yeah. So grew up in the church, went to church every day. Monday night prayer meeting, Tuesday night Bible study, Wednesday old folks meeting, Thursday young folks meeting, Friday was regular Friday night service, and then you had Saturday youth choir rehearsal, and then Sunday you had four services. So we went to church all the time. Mom kept us in church. At the time, my dad was not saved. But what changed for me is when my dad got saved my senior year in high school. And it was different. When a man is saved, living for the Lord, walking for the Lord, I mean, it changed completely. It's one thing, my mom is saved, getting us out the door, getting us dressed, let's go. And dad's kicking us out of the door to go to church, and he's going back to bed.
Right.
Versus my senior year in high school, it's like, what are y'all? He's beating us to the door, got his Bible in hand. Let's go. We're not going to be late. For me, that was a big change for me because I knew the Lord. I knew scripture. I knew what it was about. That was a big change for me, but it still didn't come for me until my senior year in college. The end of my senior year when I relationally started taking it on for myself. Like, I've been in college. I lost my mind in college in terms of doing things that I knew were wrong. And it took my senior year, the end of my senior year, well, God kind of put me flat on my back. Well, I wanted to go some places and do some things, and he just would not allow it. And at the end of the day, I knew that's what it was. So I surrendered. It was December, and I surrendered, and I was 21 years old, and I said, I'm not looking back. That was it. And have been living with him ever since. Has it been easy? No, it has not been peaches and cream. I can tell you that. But what I did realize is that he's been with me, and he's not going to leave me. Like he is chasing after me. Like he wants to continue. He wants to continue to love me, and he's going to continue to love me no matter what I do. Yeah. But he said, you know what? I got a greater love for you from a standpoint of if you just completely trust me, like you will see my love even more. We see the love, but when you completely trust God, you begin to see his love anymore. So that's my story in a nutshell in terms of walking with him. I now have a wife. We've been married 18 years. We got six kids. We got four remaining in the house. Mm-hmm. Two that are off. One's out of college. One is still in college. And again, we're loving the Lord. And I instill with them all the time. Like it's about, hey, you got to live for, it's your relationship. Like it ain't religion, because I grew up thinking it was, I had a lot of religion. But when you come to know him as your relationship, he's your friend. Like, he loves you. Right. He wants to know. Like, and you say, wait a minute, he already knows. Yes, but he wants you to talk to him about it. You know, so when you have that understanding, like, this is the relational God. What's that? I think it's Jehovah. I think Jehovah is the relational God. I think that's the one it is. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
All the different names when you think about it. But he's relational and he wants that relation. He does not want religion. It is not about a church. It is about your relationship with him and not excluding getting to the church and corporate worship. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying if you have corporate worship, that's great. But if you do not, you best believe your relationship is more important than all that. More important than your relationship with your mom, your dad, your wife, your children. That relation is the most important. And that's the one you got to cultivate. That's the one you got to get down and be down for, because at the end of the day, that's what matters.
It's fascinating to think of your story in that time when you came to the Lord, because that, if I'm doing my math correctly, that was your senior year at Indiana and you're getting ready for the draft and you were a top prospect. You were a second rounder. You were a guy who played quarterback in college and came into the NFL and ended up being a wide receiver and having a lot of success. But there's also a lot of eyeballs on you. A lot of people probably praising you and patting you on the back and saying, you are the man, you are the person here who's dominating, and you're the face of maybe even the football team in the school. And that's the time when you surrendered. That's such an interesting time for me to think about, interesting story, because of what was happening in your life at that time.
And it was, and that was, like I said, that was the, I knew what I wanted. I wanted a wife and I wanted a bunch of kids. I knew that. I've been knowing that for forever.
Yeah.
But again, my trigger, and I go back to my senior year, my dad surrendering to Christ was like, whoa, that was big for me. And then I knew it. Like, I know I got to do it. Like, what am I waiting on? And it's years and years in college. And it's like, what are you doing? You're still trying to do it yourself. Dumb. Stop. You can't do it.
Yeah.
And I was one of those people like, oh, I'm going to get myself together. I'm going to clean myself up. You know, I'm going to make sure I do it. But you can't. It's not you cleaning up. God's going to clean you up. But you got to allow him to. He wants to. But you just got to surrender, allow him to. So during that time, I did not want to come in the National Football League. With that, I wanted a new page. So leaving Indiana and going to the National Football League, wherever it was going to be, I wanted it to be new. So when I came in, it was new. So anybody in the National Football League who knew me, they got the new Antoine Randall L. I go back to college and like I got friends. I was a year or two in the league and they were calling, asking me to do things. And we're going back and doing different stuff. I was just like, nah, you know, I ain't doing it no more. What do you mean? Like, man, look, I am not doing that, man. I'm saved. Christ died for me. And they're like, what are you talking? So I give them the whole spiel.
That's
about
good.
Salvation.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, okay, all right. But you want to come hang out? Not if we're doing that.
Right.
So when you begin to take those stands, like you begin to stand for the Lord, God acknowledges that. Like he acknowledges that. When you stand for him, I mean, he'll take you a long way. And it ain't just about one day, because you're going to continue to be tested. The enemy is trying to get you off. Like, that's his goal. We talk about the enemy saying, you know, he come to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yeah.
Stealing, if you're going to steal something, guess what? You're going to put a plan together. So the enemy has put a plan together to try to come after us.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right.
If he's trying to kill you, guess what? He's trying to kill you. If it's a fish in a fishbowl right now, the only way to kill that fish is to take that fish out of the fishbowl, right? That fish can't breathe. The devil's trying to get us away, take us away from God.
Mm.
No different.
Right.
And he wants to destroy us. He wants us to ruin us. If I gave you a piece of paper right now and I said, destroy it, you would say what? Oh, I would shred it. Nah, that's not destroying. You would put that thing on fire and put it to ashes. That's what the enemy is trying to do to us. He is trying to, get rid of us. He doesn't, I mean, the legacy, he wants to ruin the wife and kids. And for me, I learned if he cut off the head, oh, the rest is out. It's over with. Them kids, wife and kids out of there. So that was huge for me. When my dad began to walk for Christ, I was like, I'm not doing it. And the only way you win is that you trust God, because we have already won. We just gotta surrender to him. The fight is already fixed. Enemy's gonna try you, but the fight is fixed. So all we gotta do is stand. We gotta stand with God and watch him take us. I mean, he's taking me places I never thought I would go. I wanted to go, but didn't know if I was going to get there. And I can guarantee I would not be where I am today without the Lord on my side, for real.
What's interesting, too, is you went to a team in Pittsburgh that had a lot of guys who were strong in their faith. They're kind of in the same you know, areas you were trying to growing together in the Lord. And then that success comes, right? In 2005, you have the ultimate success. You guys all win the Super Bowl. And ironically, as a guy who played quarterback in college, you throw a Super Bowl touchdown pass. I feel like it's you and Nick Foles are the two guys that weren't quarterbacks throwing touchdown passes in the Super Bowl for teams that won it. But you did that, and you guys won a Super Bowl, and then you have free agency come. I'm just curious for you around that time when you were having that success and getting ready to test free agency. And again, a lot of people coming at you, pulling at you, money, fame, all of that.
Right.
How was your walk during that time? And did you have guys around you who were kind of encouraging you, discipling you, you know, just being around guys that you could fellowship with? What was that time of Antoine's life like when, again, success, fame, money, all that stuff was kind of coming at you?
Yeah, so during that time, that's when, like, I had a good foundation in terms of knowing, like, when success comes, like, watch out type deal. Right. Ray Jackson, I think he's a player development down in Denver now. He was there. Willie Williams was another one. He was a cornerback, played a long time for Seattle. We had him on our team that year.
Yeah.
Jeff Hardings. I mean, though we had guy after guy who we would have studies before we went on the field. Before we went on the practice field, we would have Bible studies right there in Ray Jackson's office, getting ready for practice. Troy Polamalu was there. Like we got in there and we just talked and discussed about things we had going on in our life, you know, from that standpoint. And hey, we got to stay solid. And wouldn't you know it, we did that. And in the midst of all that, like, people walk by like, hey, man, make sure y'all say a prayer for me. Pray for me. It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable in terms of people, like, really wanting to be involved and see what was going on, knew what was going on. Hey, man, did y'all pray for me today? That type thing. So it was good. So we kept that up. So I had a couple of great people in my life that really helped me out when I got to Washington. James Thrash was another guy. London Fletcher, guys who just lived for the Lord. Vernon Fox, that lived for the Lord, were sold out for Jesus. And it was no like turning back. There was no going, this is what it's about. And we want to make sure we be that and we show that, you know. And that's what people, and when people have issues going on in their life, they turn to you, they come to you. So you sit back and you really sit back and you're that light in the locker room. And when it comes, you have the opportunity to be able to share with them, like, hey, this is what it's about. Like, look, if you don't kill this now, guess what? It's going to come back again. You know, you got to start, you know, combating this now and, you know, really surrender your life to Christ. So you have that opportunity to be able to share. And I'm thankful for that opportunity because at the end of the day, like where else could you not get a better foot in to be able to share the gospel?
Yeah.
When everything in this league tells you opposite, you know. Oh, well, yeah. Really in the world. Let me not just say the league, but everything in the world tells you opposite from that standpoint. So it was great to have those guys around. And I can go on players, coaches over and over again who just, you know, who knew the word and you saw them at those Bible studies and they wanted to make sure that they were representing Christ as well.
I remember we had at one of our conferences last year or 2 years ago, we had Lorenzo Alexander on, who was a former teammate of yours too. And we were talking about the impact on his life. He said he came to faith in Christ after Sean Taylor had passed. And he just really kind of had this self-reflection on life when Sean had passed and that tragedy, obviously, in the 2007 season with Washington. You were on that team. When you think back to that year, and obviously maybe your story is a little different, but I have to imagine Sean's passing and it affected everybody. I mean, even outside of the league, how did that affect you as far as your faith goes and just understanding that life is short? Because Lorenzo said it really impacted him in a weird way, to where he said, listen, I wish Sean had never passed, but his passing led me to Christ. And I thought, wow, that's so interesting to find good within tragedy like that. What was that like for you?
For me, it was unreal because it was so close. It was so close. It was just like, wow, like it could change. And he's at home chilling.
Right.
Cause he's injured. Like it could change in an instant. Like when you have those things happen so close to you, I mean, you hunker down, you start getting, you're going closer to, you start getting closer to God. You want, like, wait a minute now, that could have been me. Like, was I ready? You know, that type deal. And you just make sure, yeah, I was ready, but, like, was everything else ready? Like, you start thinking about getting your, making sure your finances and will, like, all that stuff, because anything could have been anybody.
Right.
It could have happened to anybody. So the effect was just profound. But again, it gave us an opportunity to witness, you know, to those who at that time were just struggling. Like, and it wasn't just, you know, about like, hey, because Sean died, it's going to happen to you. No, he's gone. Yes, it could happen to you. But where are you going if it happens? Like, heaven and hell is real.
Right.
Like, that conversation is real. Like, it is real. Like, where are you going when you die? You know, and if you know you're going to heaven and you're living for Christ, amen. Go pull somebody, get somebody else in your boat. If you're not, you better get on board because it's coming. So you have those real conversations. And when they see it, they hear it, and it hits so close to home, it hits a little different. They hear it, they listen a little closer. So for me, it was that impact. Were tough. It changed our team. Our team became closer. You just get a, when things like that happen, like it brings you together, but you get a chance to witness. You get a chance to share. And I obviously we go into it if you want to. You know, the questions about would God allow it to happen? No, God gave people choice. Like, people made that choice to go in and take Sean's life. You know, stuff like that. So you have to have those hard conversations. At the end of the day, they begin to realize, you know, like, this is not of God. He don't want anybody to perish.
Right.
He want everybody to have everlasting life. So, and then you share that with them. Yes, you too. You're included in that. He wants you to have everlasting life. So you get a chance to share, witness, and you see, like, just like Lorenzo, who come to know Christ because of incidents like that. So it's always good to be able to have an opportunity to share after that.
At what point in your career, when you were playing, and maybe you didn't have this when you were playing, did you think you might end up being a coach someday? Did you have that desire when your career came to an end?
I didn't, because I heard all the other sides about what coaching was in terms of the hours and things like that. And then you get with a guy like Bruce Arians, who is like, hey, get your work done and go home. Get your work done and make sure you're not missing any of your kids' stuff. Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Sign me up, because now I'm getting best of both worlds. I'm in the world, and now I can share with the coaches too. I can share with the GM. We're doing Bible studies in Detroit right now. And I got Bible studies, and I invite everybody on the list, from security to the video room to all the coaches, all the strength and conditioning, like the GM administration. Y'all come to these Bible studies because they're good. We're going to share about the Lord. We're going to chop it up. And it ain't about where you are in your walk. It's about God being in your walk, and we're going to talk about it right here every Tuesday. So that's what and that's what it's about. So I get a chance to do that, and I get a chance to still be on the field.
Yeah, and not have people hitting you.
There you go. And I get a chance to teach, and I get a chance to still go home and be with my family. And it's no different with Dan Campbell. Dan said he that's the same way he wants it. He does not want us watching our desk, basically.
Right.
You get your work done, you get out. You know, so I love that God has put me in some great places and given me great opportunities. And it's all to be a witness for him. That's it. And I know it, and I'm going to keep on doing it.
Before we say goodbye, I forgot. I wanted to ask you this, because you're in college. You were a unique player because you were such a good football player, but you also played a little baseball, and you played a season of basketball under head coach Bobby Knight. Speaking of hard-nosed coaches, what was that like? I'm always fascinated. You know, that goes back 20 plus years. But when you played for Coach Knight that one year in basketball, what was it like to play for such a, I guess, a legendary coach, but a guy who was known to be quite fiery and very hard-nosed?
Yeah, so I played 2 years under Coach Knight.
Okay.
My redshirt year, and then my second year, and 1 year baseball. But 2 years under Coach Knight, and every year was, I mean, it was awesome. Those 2 years, if I could – you talk about going back and do something again, I would love to just have him, like, and not have, like, football. Like, just be able to focus on that. Because I was leaving right from football and going basketball. And I only say that just to experience them even more. You talk about a hard-nosed coach, but, again, a coach who cares about you. Like, He don't care nothing about you on that court. Meaning, like, when you step on that court, you're gonna do what he's trying to get you to do. And right. If you ain't, you gonna pay for it. But off the court, I mean, he wanna crack jokes with you, he wanna talk about your mama, you're gonna talk about his mama, you're gonna go to the movies. And when you're done, the things he would do to make sure you have what you need, job, whatever it is, he's gonna put the word in for you.
Wow.
So for me, I wanted that hard-nosed coach. I wanted that because I got a chance to know who he was. And for me, growing up, I grew up in a town and a neighborhood where you had to be hard-nosed anyway. And I grew up with a dad who wasn't taking no – he wasn't taking no mess anyway. So, Coach Knight, okay, ain't no big deal. Because I'm getting it at home anyway. My dad at home was strict. You got to be here. All he wanted us to do, go to school. After school, you go to practice. You come home, do your homework. If you had time to go outside, you had to be back in for the street light came on. That was our day, every day. So I knew what it was like. So when I got with Coach Knight, the rigor was nothing. And when I say it was nothing, I wanted it. I thrived for that. And then when you did right, you completed what he wanted you to get done, the applause, the what do we call it? The applause, the I'm telling you, look, you did a great job. Like, that is –
affirmation.
That affirmation is great to hear from that legendary coach who you know has won. He knows what he's talking about. And when you do it, you can see, okay, yeah, he does. And when you buy into it, you see it begin to work. So I always loved Coach Knight and everything he brought to the table, and not just on the court, but also off the court. Had a great, great time with him.
Fascinating to think too, like you said, what if, right? And you never want to take away, God had a plan. You played 9 seasons, you had a great career, you're coaching football. But that what if I played basketball for 4 seasons and just focused on hoops? What could have happened? Sounds like you think about that a little bit.
Well, I think about it from a standpoint of like, man, God blessed me to be able to do those things.
Yeah.
Like, and I make it clear to people, like, I'm not ever saying I want to take back what he's allowed me to do. No, because I had one reporter that screwed up in terms of when I talked about baseball years ago. Like, I love baseball. Baseball was my first passion. Mm. And when I got drafted, I wanted to go play. But mom and dad said no, because I was 17 years old. So I couldn't make my own decision. So they made me go to school and get my degree. So I think about that. Like, I got caught stealing bases one time in high school. How many bases would I have stole in Major League Baseball?
Right.
with the quickness and speed. So I just think about those things, and not to ever go back and say what God has done is not perfect, because it is. And I'm thankful for it. I love where I am. I love what he allowed me to go through and allowed me to experience for his glory. Let's make sure we reiterate that, for his glory. But yeah, I would love to see what that path would look like, you know, right. He put me down this path, playing ball, playing football, loving him, loving my wife and kids, and just witnessing to other people. So I'm thankful for that. And I'm going to keep on doing it, like I said, as much as I can. If I get the notion he nudges me to talk to somebody in the supermarket, I'm going to do it. I'm going to share. I want to share the gospel, because people got to know he's real. He is alive and well. So I don't take it for granted. And Lord, forgive me if I do ever. That's one thing. When I try to pray, I try to make sure I ask for forgiveness, because I don't want to be wrong. I want to be right in every aspect, and I want to make it in. I want him to say, well done. That's what I want to hear.
That's good. He is Antoine Randall L., Detroit Lions wide receivers coach, getting ready for 2021. Congrats on your success last year, certainly in your career. Thanks for sharing your story of faith and football, and all the best. Hope you have a great season in 2021. And come back again sometime. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. From the car, getting ready to get some lunch. We'll talk to you soon, man. I appreciate you.
And many thanks to Antoine Randall L., Detroit Lions wide receivers coach, the Super Bowl champion during his time with Pittsburgh and winning that with the Steelers. So glad to have Antoine share his story here on Sports Spectrum. And I love his boldness and his willingness to just want to tell people about Jesus. I love the story about the Sean Taylor death as well, and how that kind of opens up his eyes as a player to understand that life is short, and it is short. And we need to be telling people about Jesus, because there's two places you're going to go when you pass. And you can make that decision to choose life or to choose death. And where are you going to go when you pass? And Antoine Randall, I thought, really communicated that pretty well about his urgency to want to tell people about Jesus. So I really appreciate him coming on the show. I hope you guys enjoyed the conversation. Do us a favor, if you did, please tell someone about this interview and about this episode of Sports Spectrum. Maybe share this podcast with someone. Throw them a quick text and text them this link to listen to the show. Or maybe tell someone else about Sports Spectrum's website and share a story or share an article. See, we look at ourselves as a resource for you to share the gospel. So look at sportsspectrum.com, look at this podcast, look at our podcast network as a resource. You can listen to it and be entertained and hear great stories like Antoine shared, but it really comes down to, how am I going to tell someone about Jesus? Well, use Sports Spectrum to be able to do that. That's what we'd like to do. We like to bring Jesus back into the conversation and point people to him. Again, our website, sportsspectrum.com. Make sure you tune in next time. We got a brand new episode coming your way right here on Sports Spectrum's podcast. Have a great rest of your day, and please do stay safe.